You're being lied to. Maybe. That might be a little dramatic. I'll let you be the judge of it as we get into this, because I'm going to be talking about everything wrong with how Illinois counts the deer population, why it matters, what consequences that has, and then I'm going to give you some solutions, hopefully some solutions to the problem as well. Some things that I think they could do better, because I don't like to be the one that complains without offering a solution to the problem. Before we get into all that, don't forget about Rodney Hawkins over at Midwest Farm and Land and RG Outdoors. Midwest Farm and Land, they do recreational and residential property all over the state of Illinois. He is a land specialist with them. And RG Outdoors is his own business where they do sporting goods. He's got all kinds of stuff there. He's on Facebook at RG Outdoors. You can also get a hold of him at 618-925-3153. Our other partner is Racks Big Game Supplements. You guys can go to racksbiggame.com and see everything they have to offer, find local dealers, and all that kind of stuff. Right now is the time of year where you need to be running mineral and supplements. If you can, where you're at, it's going to make those deer healthier. Is it going to take 130-inch deer and make them 170 inches in 1 year? Absolutely not, but it could take a deer that was going to be 150 and maybe make him 175 if you give the proper nutrition throughout his life to the does as well and the entire herd. It's just going to make your herd healthier, which in turn does create bigger antlers. So go to racksbiggame.com and see all of that over there. So now, let's dive into this. And I guess we should start with what is the current system in Illinois. So if you guys don't know, we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast before. But there are several things that go into it. Most of it, though, is based on harvest reporting and hunter harvest data. And it's not specifically how many deer are shot. Okay, we'll multiply that by whatever. Here's how many deer we have. Obviously, there are other things that go into that as well. There's some other supplemental data that they use from different things, and I'll talk about those too because I don't think those are the best either. But the way they do it is they take the amount of permits that were issued and they take the hunters and what they call hunter effort, which is basically how many hunts it takes me to shoot a deer, more or less. They try to figure that. And then they take those numbers and they have a multiplier to estimate the total population. So let's say I shoot one deer and it took me 10 hunts. That's worth so many deer in this population. Now, if I shoot a deer and it took 5 hunts, then they're going to assume maybe that there were more deer in the area, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit. Right now, I just want to go over what they're actually doing. So on top of that, they also have vehicle collisions, which we've talked about before. They will take the number of car accidents with deer, involved with deer, and add that variable in to their estimation as well for the population. Another thing that plays a role in it is crop damage reports, and this is self-reported crop damage from farmers from agricultural areas. That number plays a role in their overall estimate, too. So, what's the problem with that? I kind of got into a little bit on the harvest-based estimations because they don't take into account the fact that it's now a lot easier to harvest a deer than it ever has been, especially in Illinois, where in the last 10 years they have lengthened the crossbow season and opened it to everybody, which a crossbow is just a more efficient weapon. There's no doubt about that. So a lot of guys who maybe weren't harvesting deer because they weren't proficient with the traditional archery bow now can take a crossbow and they're harvesting more deer, even though they're not necessarily increasing their hunt effort, right? That thing I talked about a minute ago. Same way with the rifles during the gun season and the evolution of muzzleloaders even. Look how good they are now compared to 15, 20 years ago. Even slug guns. There's some slug guns out there that are really good now where guys are way more efficient in their hunting, and it's not necessarily a result of more deer in their area. Could it be also that? Yes, they definitely could play a role in it. Don't care how efficient you are, if there's no deer there, you're not going to shoot them. But The problem is none of that stuff is taken into account. So let's say you've got five hunters that shoot five deer and it took them 50 hunts to do it. And then whatever formula they have, they come up with, okay, that means there's a 200 deer in this area. So now the next year, rifles and crossbows and everything like that, it takes those five hunters, let's say 25 hunts to kill those five deer. That model will now show, oh, there must be 400 deer in the area because they essentially doubled their output this year. So that must mean there's more deer because it took them less time to harvest the same amount of deer. You see the issue there? Where that could be, have some bias and maybe has some gaps in their data and how they're measuring that. And that is that's the biggest data point that they use for estimating their population. Now, onto the vehicle collisions. This one can go either way. The biggest problem is it's only reported collisions. One of the biggest problems. Because how many people have hit a deer and just dented their bumper and not reported it, right? So that doesn't go into their database. Same way that they don't account for some counties that have fewer roads per square mile. So there's less vehicular traffic throughout that county. So there are, of course, less accidents. That could mean there are less deer. It also could mean there's even more deer than some other counties that may have more accidents because they are highly populated, the road density is much higher, and they have more traffic on the roads. That county might even have less deer than the other one, but because of the way it's reported and because of the way this all gets put into their formula, it's not accounted that way. So that could go either way. You could absolutely have more deer than what are being reported. Because let's say this county has less roads and there are just less accidents. That doesn't necessarily mean there's less deer. It probably more rural area, there's a good chance it does have more deer. Versus go to a suburb of a bigger city that borders on the more rural area. And now they have a lot of people congregated in the area, but there's also a lot of deer integrating in that area. So now they have way more collisions per deer than the other area does. But to this formula or to the state, it just looks like there's more deer in that area than the other one. How does that make sense? It doesn't. And crop reporting, crop damage reporting, again, could go either way because some guys are going to over-exaggerate their crop damage because they go out there and they see their crops eaten by a deer. They don't like that, of course, because they're eating their crops. So they might exaggerate it a little bit and say there are more because they want deer to be gone. And they know that the more crop damage they report, that leads to more permits being issued, more nuisance permits. We just saw that this past year. Lighter restrictions on who can use those and when you can use those, and landowner permit changes to where you can now, okay, I might be a farmer that doesn't like to hunt at all, but I don't want crop damage, but I can get these landowner permits. I can, and now instead of them just not being used, I can give them to somebody else and he can come in and use them. All that stuff benefits them because it's less deer, right? And there's areas, again, where that needs to happen. But on the flip side of that, it could be that they're not reporting enough at all. And then there are more deer in that area than would be represented by their self-reported crop damage because they're not reporting enough of it. So that one could go either way too. There's bias on both sides of that. But all of that stuff gets thrown into the same pot and then they spit out this population estimate. And if you look at it, it kind of coincides. So I believe this past year and since the rifles were introduced, we've had a steady increase in their estimated deer population. If it's based on harvest data and the efficiency of hunters, of course, that makes total sense, right? If they issued 100 permits in 2022 and 50 of them got filled, and then they issued 100 more permits in 2023 and 75 of them got filled, it looks like there's more deer based on their model. There are so many different ways you could dive into that and create issues with it. Those are the biggest ones that I see. And the problem with it is the more deer that are harvested in the less amount of hunts or the less permits that have to be, so the less hunters that are out there, because they're basing the number of hunters based on the permits and all that data that they have. So if it's still only taking 100 deer hunters to kill 50 deer when used to it took 200, now they just think, based on this model, that the population's going up, they just keep issuing more and more permits. So there are being more deer harvested every year because there's more efficient methods and there are more permits being issued and more nuisance permits and everything like that. When in reality, the population is going down. And statewide, maybe that's not a problem. But the problem is that they blanket the whole state with all of this. And I've talked about this before as well. And what kind of got me thinking about all this was when I did a video the other day on a new bill that just got introduced. I believe it's 4504, House Bill 4504. I think that's right. Where they're going from single shot, they're trying to get it up to three in your rifles and stuff like that, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but I think it leads to just another step in the direction of eventually we're going to have all the calibers of centerfire rifles. And that's just going to be another point where we get more efficient in our hunting, and then more deer are harvested, and then it, based on their model, it looks like there's more deer in the state, when in reality, that number's slowly going down, 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 down. But again, the problem is this whole thing is blanketed across the entire state. And so the same laws that get enacted for Chicago get enacted for Wayne City, Illinois. And the issue with that is the deer herds are totally different, right? As far as I know, the only thing they're doing county by county is CWD. So when they find CWD, they'll have something for that. And then that late winter season. And those are mostly based off of those same models that we talked about. And what I don't get is if they can base that season off of that, why aren't they basing everything off of that? County by county or region by region. You could create different regions throughout the state and then say, okay, region 5 has these rules or this season is available to them or is not. Instead of just, okay, there's 750,000 deer in the state, so we need to kill more deer, so we're going to give out more permits. We're going to increase hunter efficiency with weapons and better firearms and more rounds in the chamber and give out more nuisance permits and allow landowners to disperse their tags more freely. When again, in certain counties, certain regions, that might be a good thing, but then in others, you're just going to have the deer completely wiped out. And here's why that matters, right? So you might be thinking, well, that's great. I don't like deer anyway. If you're listening to this podcast, that's probably not you. But you might be thinking, good, I want all the deer gone. Or you might be like, well, that doesn't sound great because I like deer and I like to hunt deer, but I don't know if that's enough for the state really to change stuff just because I like to hunt deer and I want to hunt bigger deer. You got to look at the economic impact of hunting on the entire state. And from some numbers that have been published, in Illinois, hunting generates about $1.3 billion in direct spending every year. Every year, $1.3 billion directly attributed to hunting, spending on hunting. It supports 18,000 plus jobs, and it contributes almost $160 million in state and local tax revenue. And I believe the ripple effect, they call it, on the entire economy. So when you think about non-resident guys coming in, buying gas, lodging, food, when you think about residents kind of doing some of the same stuff, spending money in sporting goods stores, things like that, the entire economic ripple effect is $2.2 billion every year that hunting has. That is enough for Illinois to worry about it. But right now, everything's hunky-dory because that money is still coming in. The problem is the current approach that they have is unsustainable. because of the way those reports go. So here's another way to look at that too, that harvest reporting. Let's say you have a mediocre trail camera and you want to estimate the population for a city, right? And you take the most popular grocery store in that city and you set this thing up in the produce aisle because people need produce, whatever. So now every fifth person that goes by that camera, because it's just an okay camera, it gets a picture of them. And you make your assessment of the population based on getting however many pictures you got. One picture for every five people, right? Let's say 10 people came in, you think there's two people. Because, and you can assume, okay, there's some room for error there, so maybe we'll say there's three. Now, use that same model. You have the same amount of people still in that city, but now you take an even better camera and you put it on the front door. So what have you done? Your equipment's gotten better and you're in a better location. So you're way more efficient. Now you're getting pictures of everybody who comes through that door. Let's say of the 10 people who come through, you got 8 pictures. Sounds like, wow, there's 8 people here in this city where before I thought there was 3 last year. But see, you don't account for the better camera and the more optimum positioning of it. All you account for is the number of pictures. So that's kind of how that harvest reporting works. Maybe that's a little bit better analogy for how they're kind of doing that. And again, the issue with that is if we keep harvesting more and more deer, and that shows that there are more deer around, without taking into consideration the fact that we might just be harvesting more deer with less work, and the population might actually be coming down, eventually we're going to hit a point where the quality of the deer herd is not good enough to attract out-of-state hunters, and it's not going to be good enough for people to want to go out there and hunt. And they're going to become disinterested because they're going to have less successful hunts. They aren't going to be able to hunt the same quality of deer, so people who want a trophy hunt aren't going to spend as much money on it. And I'm not saying this is 5 years down the road. This could be 10, 20, 30 years down the road, but why not look at that and try to prevent it? If you take away all of that, so now there's no incentive for people to hunt, what happens to that $1.3 or $2.2 billion? Obviously, all of it doesn't go away because there's still going to be some people that hunt. But the economic impact of that and 18,000 jobs directly impacted by the hunting space and money spent on that, all that stuff, not all of it, but most of it's just gone. And then what do you do? You're just out $2.2 billion every year. So what could we do about it? We can't do much about it, to be honest with you. But the DNR has some options in my mind. One of them is to just look at some states that are around us, right? So Iowa, that is like the mecca for whitetail hunting. They've got the biggest bucks. They've got healthy herd populations. They attract a lot of hunters every year. They do a lot of things better than Illinois. I think we could all pretty much agree on that. But specifically looking at their harvest or their population estimates, because that's where a lot of this stems from when we're talking about the legislation that comes down on how many deer that we need to be harvesting. Iowa uses spring spotlight surveys where they cover, I think it said 2 roads per county every night throughout the spring, and they do spotlight surveys. So they're just driving around spotlighting fields for deer. They count the deer in the field, and then they make an assessment based off of that. The other thing they do is hunter observation reports. So not only is it, okay, I bought 2 permits and I shot 1 deer, it's kind of like when in Illinois, the way I understand it, I could be totally wrong. If I am, leave it in the comments for me, please. The way I understand it, it is a survey that they send out to bow hunters and, okay, like how many deer are on your property? How many deer do you see while you're hunting? What's the average number of deer you see while you hunt? I don't know exactly what it is, but it's kind of that way. They ask hunters what they've been seeing. Obviously, there could be some bias with that too because guys might report low or report high, either one. And then they go down to the county level on their density estimates. So they don't just blanket the entire state with one population. They say, okay, this county we estimate this many, this county we estimate this many, and then we can change things based off of that. They also integrate disease management, CWD, and EHD in their harvest strategy. So best I could tell, Illinois changed nothing after 2012 when we had that big wipeout of deer, right? Iowa would take that kind of stuff into consideration. They have, again, like I mentioned earlier, spatially explicit, which just means county by county, region by region, and multi-source data that is not mainly driven from harvest reporting and other potentially very biased information. And all that combined leads to better herd management in Iowa. So those are a couple things. And it's not like they can't talk. Our DNR, head of our DNR, can't go talk to Iowa's or whatever they call them up in Iowa and figure out, hey, what are you guys doing that works? What are you doing that doesn't work? What could we be doing better, do you think? Go talk to them. Figure out how they're doing this. Figure out how much money it's costing to do this. This is something that we've talked about on a podcast before, and it's one of the solutions, I think, is doing these aerial surveys. They already do some aerial surveys in Illinois, but most of them are just over CWD zones. Obviously, that costs money, but if you don't spend the money on that kind of stuff, is it really worth losing $2.2 billion every year? And how is Iowa doing it? They're doing their spring spotlight surveys. Figure out how well they think that's working. Obviously, they're doing better than us. Maybe that's something that we could implement. But these are things that you could figure out. And yes, it's, some of it's going to cost money, and that might be the limitation. That is the biggest benefit to the way that Illinois does it right now is it's super cheap. They don't really have to put a lot of money into it. There's not a lot of effort there. Because the DNR is over so many different things that they have to worry about putting money in so many different pots that they don't want to put money into our deer herd. And maybe they do want to, but they just can't. Their hands are tied, whatever it is. So they've just gone with the cheapest way possible, even at the detriment of the actual resource. And when you think about it, you're saving, I don't know, let's say you save $5 million a year right now, but later, you're costing yourself billions every year. Does that really make sense? And it's not like we aren't paying plenty in taxes in Illinois for this stuff to get figured out, especially as hunters. Like, that's one of the reasons that a lot of people, I feel like, one of the few things people like about Illinois is our deer hunting and how good it is, at least in the rural communities. And that's something we would like to see our tax money actually used for, is improving that resource. And it doesn't, because they just, it's the cheapest thing to do that seems to make some sense. And I could see how you could work your mind around to say, okay, yeah, this works. But if you think about how much money it actually generates, does that make sense? To me, it doesn't. So again, I think dividing the state into management units would be a good thing. And that's not to say you still couldn't have a statewide archery permit, right? Or something like that. But at least they can make different decisions on herd management based on a region. The middle of Illinois, where there's nothing but ag and cropland, does not need to be managed. Their deer herd does not need to be managed the same way it does in the Shawnee Forest or in the very north part of Illinois, right? So break it down into management units, and then use your county level or regional data to make decisions for those regions on how many permits should be allowed, what kind of seasons they should have, season lengths, what kind of firearms should be allowed, what kind of crossbow season should we have, when should seasons fall, all that kind of stuff could be based region by region if you broke it down that way. Again, I talked about thermal drones. They use airplanes for waterfowl surveys. They use helicopters now for surveys for deer. That could be used in certain areas. So let's say you don't have to cover the entire state with those, but you could make estimates based off of, okay, here's an area that has 40% timber and 60% cropland, just for easy numbers. And we found X amount of deer in this area. So we have another spot that has 60-40. We can assume that it likely has a similar amount of deer, right? As long as geographically it's not that far apart. And again, take into consideration what time of year it is, what resources are available to the deer. It doesn't make a lot of sense to say two farms beside each other must have equal numbers of deer if one of them has winter wheat and the other one has nothing but dirt that's been turned over on it. And you fly a drone over it, over this farm over here with winter wheat, and you see, oh, there's 40 deer there. The farm next to it must have 42 because they're broke down similar. That's something you got to take into consideration as well. But thermal drones, thermal cameras from helicopters, all kinds of aerial surveys in specific locations where you could take a legitimate estimate and say, okay, this breakdown tends to hold this many deer. And you're going to see patterns throughout the state when you do that. And you can make inferences based off of that instead of the way they're doing it now. Trail cameras. They're using trail cameras a little bit now on public ground and stuff like that. Use that for density, age, buck to doe ratios, things like that, where you can. All the public grounds they got, the state could run cameras on those. You could maybe do something with the public and ask for trail camera data from them. Like, hey, say you want to submit your trail camera data for us to analyze, by all means, and we could make better decisions for management based off of that. You're still going to have bias in there as well, so you got to account for that. Collaring deer, I'm not sure how much of that they're doing, but you could at least, what they're doing with that, use that data to combine with the other stuff, the thermal drones, the planes, the helicopters, the trail cameras, the management, the regional zones, where these deer are moving, how they're moving, at what times of year. That kind of stuff could play another role too. And then also combine what they're doing now. You can still use harvest models. You can still use crop damage. You can still use collision data, but you have to have some kind of margin for error in there and a margin for bias on those. You can't just take them at face value. And I don't, maybe they're not right now, but it doesn't seem to be working. Anecdotally, you can ask around. Some guys are having the best seasons, the best hunts they've ever had. Other guys can't seem to buy a mature buck. Doesn't matter how much they do, they can't seem to find them. There are a lot of reasons for that, too. And again, I've said this before. I think where we're at in Southern Illinois, we're in a great spot. I think there are a lot of mature bucks around. There are a lot of good size. We're still seeing as good an antler size as we've ever seen. But this is just trying to be proactive. I'm not saying the issue's right here in the next 5 years, but why not try to have some prevention instead of, okay, kicking the can down the road like politicians generally do, and then, well, gee, when it happens, we didn't see that coming. Where'd that come from? How did this happen all of a sudden, right, after this has been going on for the last 20 years? But again, those are some things that I think are issues with the way Illinois does it now. I'd be curious to know what you guys think. Those are some solutions. Obviously, that I'm just focusing here on like the actual population numbers because I think there's a huge gap. There are huge gaps in how they're collecting that data and making those estimations. I'm not talking necessarily even about quality of the deer herd on that. Obviously, it kind of leads into that because if you're just trying to harvest the most amount of deer possible, the quality of the herd is going to suffer. And I think their only focus is on the number, the quantity, not the quality, which is also an issue. But you could get into, you know, a lottery system for non-residents. You could get into limiting the one buck. A one buck state, you could talk about earn a buck stuff. And I'm not advocating for or against any of those things. I have my thoughts on them. I'll probably talk about them on a different podcast at some point. I have in the past too. But this one, just some solutions, some issues I see with the way that they are reporting and estimating the population. So now you can tell me if you feel lied to or not based on how they are actually collecting this data. Do you think they really have a solid idea of how many deer we have in the state? Do you think they have any idea how many deer are in your area? They're telling you that something, they're telling you that they do, or they're at least giving you some kind of estimate that obviously they have confidence in, or they wouldn't put it out there, right? So I don't know, is that lying or not? I don't think there's a lot of faith in our government institutions anyway. They've done plenty to lose that and lose trust from people. And I don't know. This is just, if you just take it at face value and say, okay, the state must know what they're doing. We must have this many deer. And then you dive into it and you see how they're actually coming up with these numbers, it's not real reassuring. At least it isn't for me to think that someone with an organization with the resources that they have can't come up with a better system when we have states throughout the Midwest that do it way better than we do that we could use as a model. So I don't know. Let me know what you guys think in the comments. I think there are ways that we could definitely improve what they're doing now and mitigate the risk of losing that resource in the future. And again, I'm not like doomsday. We have to do something right now or all the deer are going to be gone and the hunting's horrible and it's just not what it used to be. That's not me. I'm not saying that at all. But I can see a point where we get there. And why not try to take action now and implement some of these strategies and at least look at implementing some of these strategies and act like you care about the resource and about the economic impact at the very least that it has. So I don't know. That's my thoughts on it. Again, what do you guys think? Comment, send us a message through our socials, Ridge Hunter Outdoors. You can go to our website, ridgehunteroutdoors.com. Send us a message there. We also have management and consulting services that we do. So if you guys are in our area for management services, you guys can send us a message. There is a page on our website that kind of covers all that. Consulting, we travel all throughout the country, and we've done that in different places, different states throughout the country. If you're interested in us coming in to help you with your property, definitely look that up. We've got some merch on the website, too. If you're interested in any of that, those are great ways to support the show. I appreciate all of that stuff. Again, follow us on social media, too, at Ridge Hunter Outdoors. Facebook and Instagram are the two we use the most. That's a great way to support. Leave a review. Leave us a like, subscribe if you're on YouTube. All that kind of stuff really helps the podcast. Hopefully this one was beneficial or maybe at least made you think about the way Illinois is doing things and give you some information maybe you didn't have before. And hopefully I packaged that up nicely and neatly enough. It was kind of a last-minute decision on what I was going to talk about this week. But like I said, that house bill that they introduced kind of got me to thinking about this and the direction we're headed, and I'll probably talk about more of this in the future as well. But until then, I will see you guys on the next one.